I want you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to Genesis chapter number 1. And this morning we want to concentrate our study on verses 3 through 5. Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5. I have to tell you this story. Thursday night, while the ladies were meeting for their monthly ladies' Bible study, some of us men go and we have dinner together. And we were going down to a Mexican restaurant in Easley. What's the name of it? Mr. Jalapeno. And so we were going down there, and when I go there, I usually get something they have on the menu called ACP. I don't know why they call it ACP, but it's just sort of sliced chicken. I don't get the rice. I add chorizo. So I get ACP minus the rice, add chorizo. And on my particular low-carb diet, I can't eat their tortillas, their wraps. So I take my own low-carb wraps. And here I go into the restaurant with this pack of low-carb wraps. And on the way, I asked Justin. I said, Justin, I said, am I going to embarrass you by taking these low-carb wraps into the restaurant? And he looked at me and he said this: if you haven't embarrassed me by now, I can't be embarrassed. I said, okay. I guess that is true. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of life, your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We pray that as we have been gathered here this morning, that you will receive all honor and all glory from our gathering. That as we read your word, as we preach from your word, as we sit and listen and give attention to your word, that you will do a work in each one of our hearts. Hearts would be opened, minds would be opened to receive your word as truth. And we would rejoice in the God of the Bible. And God, we pray that anything that needs to be done, you will do it. And you will do it for your glory. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's go back and read verse 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth that he created was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That is God's word. And all God's redeemed said, amen. The book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, begins where everything must begin. It begins with God. And if we begin anywhere else but with God, we begin in error, and it necessarily means that we will wind up in error. If you start wrong, you end wrong. So in the beginning, there was God. God existed prior to creation. And when there was nothing else and no one else, there was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and they were in perfect harmony and fellowship with one another. So, God would certainly not cease to exist if man ceased to exist, because God pre-existed man and everything else. In fact, God himself is the source of everything else. God has created all that there is, and he also sustains the very existence of all that there is. This God, called here in Genesis, in the Hebrew, Elohim, is the Almighty One. He is the Sovereign One. He is the God of all strength, all wisdom, all might. He is the God that has all power. And what do we see Elohim doing? He is creating. Because that is what God does. He creates. He creates the heavens and the earth. He creates the earth and all that is above it. He creates all space and all matter. And then in verse number 2, the focus of God's creative work narrows down to the earth. This earth that God has created was originally created by God as a piece of matter that was without form, and it was void or empty. Plus, it was cloaked in darkness, covered with water. It was created originally by God in this useless state. It is originally created unshaped and undeveloped. And so in verse 2, we have the earth created by God existing, but it sits formless and empty in pitch blackness, covered in water. It is lightless and it is landless. And the earth sits there unable to form itself. The earth cannot fill its own emptiness. The earth cannot end its unending darkness. The earth cannot remove the water that covers it. It must be acted upon by Creator God. So God begins to form the earth and begins to fill the earth over the next 6 days of creation. So the last thing we saw in verse number 2 is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is hovering and fluttering over the earth in anticipation of the creative activity of God. The master potter begins to fashion, form, and fill this formless and empty blob of matter into exactly what he, as creator, desires for it to be. And the first ordering of God, the first work of God, the first creative activity of God is the creation of light. And it is this creation of light that I want to focus our attention on today. Let me say, as I have already said, God is the sole creator of everything. Can I remind you that science does not create? Science can only discover what God has already created. History does not create. History can only record what God has already created. It is God and God alone that is the creator of all that there is. And there are some people who try to convince me that there is no creator. And what they try to persuade me of is that nothing caused everything to be. And I'm not too smart, but I am smart enough to know that nothing can cause nothing. God is the creator, and he has created everything that there is. And we began this morning by looking at his creation of light. So let me give you three headings to arrange my thoughts under this morning. Number one, in verse number 3, we see the command made by God. The command made by God. And God said, let there be light. God spoke. Four words in the English translation of our Bibles, let there be light, but only two words in the Hebrew. God said, be light. God, who is light, commands that light exist. In utter darkness, God commands light to be. And I want you to see here that God is the initiator of creative order. God is referred to 32 times in these first 31 verses of chapter 1. Do you see who the subject is? God initiates this creative act by communicating His intention or by communicating His will. He divinely decrees it to be. He speaks with divine imperative. He communicates with divine authority. The means by which God creates is His Word. And God doesn't need light. The Bible says that darkness and light are the same to God. God sees equally in the dark as He does in the light. God doesn't create light so that He can see. He creates light because light is necessary for life. And God has purposed and planned and is in preparation to create life on this earth. But before there can be life, there must be light. And life depends on the presence of light. Now I want you to see here, God doesn't ask anyone what He should create and when He should create it. And God doesn't make a suggestion. God demands and God commands. The demanding and commanding God is the God of the Bible. It is the God of Genesis. He is a commanding God. He makes His will and His desires known. And God begins by overcoming darkness. He overcomes the darkness. How? By demanding, by commanding there be light. Nobody asked for light. Nobody was complaining because of the lack of light. There's nobody there but God. And so God, out of His own wisdom and out of His own will, demands, commands for light to be. So we see the command of God, be light. Number two. Notice the compliance made to God. Not only the command made of God, by God, but the compliance made to God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Literally, in the Hebrew, it says, light be, and light was. Immediately, suddenly, the response to the demand of God was absolute obedience. When God spoke, it was done. And it was done immediately. God willed it to be, and it happened. As soon as God commanded it, no sooner were the words off of His tongue, as it were, it was. God didn't have to work at it. He simply expressed His will in the matter and it was done. Can I remind you that light does not come from the sun, nor does it come from stars? Because the sun and the moon and the stars have not been created as of yet. They won't be created until day number four. But on day one, without sun, without stars, with nothing, there was light. So what kind of light is this that God creates? It no doubt is some kind of mysterious light that we can't exactly explain. And my question is, could this light be the light of God's own glory, in which He at this point manifests on the earth? The reason I say that may be true is in the Bible, we read that the holy city of Jerusalem, the holy city of heaven, or the city comes down out of heaven, and the Bible says, it had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You see, light is what God is Himself. It is His person. Light is His nature. Light is His being. The Bible says God dwells in light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. The Bible says He is the Father of lights. So was it the manifestation of God's glory that lit the earth? Or was it perhaps the manifestation of the presence of the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the Word and is the light of the world? We don't know. And we're not told. But what we do know is that out of nothing God created light. And that this light existed prior to the existence of sun, stars, moon. And this light is set in contrast to the darkness that existed before it. What God commands to be must come to be. For He is Almighty God. And His Word is the means by which His creative action is accomplished. He said, light be, and light was. The command made by God, let there be light. The compliance made to God, and there was light. Thirdly, the clarification made by God. And God saw the light that He had created, that He had made. And He says what? He concludes about this light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So God makes a pronouncement that the light that He had commanded to be was good. And this pronouncement by God is not simply made because light will one day be useful. The light is good because God made it. Say amen. And He Himself has pronounced it good. It is good because this light displays the very nature of God Himself. This is not the subjective judgment of man. This is the judgment of a holy God. Because a good God created this light, it must therefore be good. Because God can only do good. The light that God created was pleasing unto Himself. And God does everything for His own glory and pleasure. I ask this question, how could it be anything other than good since God created it? God looks at the light that He created, that He commanded to be, and it pleases Him. And this light that was created on this first day of creation was light in perfection. It was perfect light. It was exactly as God had planned it, and it was exactly as God commanded it to be. It was good. The picture here is God, the great artist of creation, has stepped back from his first stroke on the canvas, and he is admiring his handiwork. Because it itself bears witness to his greatness and his goodness. Now I want you to notice something here. The light that God creates does not eliminate the darkness. Right? It only partially removes it. The word translated here, divided, means to separate or to make a distinction between. So God is making a distinction here between light and darkness. But I want you to know something. God created them both. God created both darkness and light, but God makes a distinction between the two. And God favors one over the other because he calls one good. So you have the two. You have light and darkness functioning now simultaneously but in opposite spheres. And God called. He named the light day, and the darkness he named or called night. What's God doing there? He is manifesting his sovereign domain over his creation. That's what the act of naming does. The act of naming in Scripture is an act of sovereign dominion. To show sovereignty, to show almightiness, to show control. One will name or change a name. That's the way the kings showed their sovereign control over the throne of Judah. This is why you and I live in a society today, a culture today, where people are attempting to rename their gender. Somebody help me. You have people today who are renaming their gender. They're not male or female. They're whatever they name themselves to be. What are they trying to do? They're trying to take control and dominion from God. What God has named, they rename, thinking in their mind they're taking authority over God. They're not. Only the Creator, or the one whom he grants permission to, has the right to name what he has created. Plus, in the Bible, naming frequently emphasizes the nature or the essence or the quality of what is named. So God, the Creator, has the right to name his creation and a right to determine that light and darkness have a fixed place of function in his created order. God determines that. Say amen. And God has determined male and female, and we don't get to rename that. So the light is named day, and the darkness is named night. Which means God named them both. Yes? Which means God is Lord and sovereign over both night and day. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So light follows darkness. In fact, light and darkness follow one another. Say amen. So you see there's a cycle created here. You have light, or you have darkness, and you have light. You have evening and morning. Light brings an end to darkness. And the day begins, right? The day begins with darkness or evening and gives way to the light or morning. And when the light gives way back to darkness, it ends the day. So this is the reason that the Jewish day begins at nightfall and continues until the next nightfall. What God has done here on the first day is create the concept of time. And this is why I think that these days of creation listed for us in Genesis 1 are literal 24-hour days instead of periods of time, possibly periods of millions of years. I don't think that that's true. I think they are 24-hour literal days because of the text. The morning and the evening, one day. And let me just add this. The idea that these days are representative of periods of time and not literal 24-hour days is recent. Hasn't been historical. That's not the historical way that the church has viewed these days. But recently, some people view these things as periods of times, billions of years possibly, because they are trying to reconcile the creation account in Genesis to science and its carbon dating process. And let me say something. When you try to make Scripture come and reconcile with what man's reasoning is, that's the wrong way to interpret Scripture. Scripture is true and does not have to conform itself to any kind of reasoning of man. So I think it was one cycle of day and night, and when that day was over, so what God intended to create on the first day, the first 24 hours of creation. Let me add this. When you start Scripture, when evening and morning, when those two words are used elsewhere in Scripture, and they're used over 100 times in Scripture, when they are used in other parts of Scripture, they are never used to refer to anything other than literal evenings and mornings, the ending and beginning of literal 24-hour days. So the first day of creation, that I think includes verse 1 through 5, comes to an end with the creation of light. Now, so what? Right? Is that what you're asking? So what? What do we glean from this account of the creation of light? Let me offer just a few points of application. As children of God, as people of God, our hearts filled with gratitude and our lips filled with thanksgiving to God should be a daily exercise. For every single day that you live, darkness gives way to light. But light is not permanent, is it? It then gives way to darkness. So every morning, when that light of a new day begins to invade the room that you're in, comes shining through the window, and that light begins to chase away the darkness that has filled that room that night. By creation itself, we are to remember that as God's people, that's our God. That's our God. He has created light out of darkness. It is a reminder every morning, there's a God. He sits on the throne. He rules and reigns over all things. And He's my God. Every day that we see light coming into our rooms, we are to remember that God is the God that gives that light to dispel darkness, and He does it both physically and He does it spiritually. Every morning, when we see that light beginning to come in through our window, chasing away the darkness, we remember that God is faithful, because light comes every single morning. Every morning when we see the coming of the light into our rooms, we remember that He is a good God, because light is called good, and He has protected us and He has taken care of us as we have rested in our sleep during the night. Plus, He has brought an end to the darkness and He has brought us the light of Himself. Do you realize that if we were in constant darkness, we would not realize as clear as we do the good that God has done for us with light? And if we were always in the light, we would be so forgetful. So we have both light and darkness, so that we will remember every day when light comes, God is in charge and God is in control, and He is Lord of both light and darkness. Every morning when you see the coming of the light and the chasing away of the darkness, you need to remember the light of the world has been sent to us by God in the person of Jesus Christ, and He has brought light to darkness and eternal life in salvation. Every morning when you see the coming of light, the chasing away of darkness, we are to remember that God has given us light to light our path that day, so that we will walk in light and not in darkness. And it has been that way since the very first day of creation. So in the creation of light, we are reminded by looking at this creative work of God that there is a God, and this God is almighty, all-powerful. And He created this light out of darkness. And every day that there is light and we are able to see the goodness of this light, we are reminded of the God who created it and the God who sustains it and the faithfulness of the God that brings it into our life every single day. And if you are God's child, thank God for the light that shined into your heart, that revealed the truth of His word and revealed Christ as Savior and Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray.